Okay, we can get started before your computer dies.
Okay. This week we're gonna do our spooky episode for October. Ooh. It's not really any spookier than anything we've done before, but it's very fitting for my cackle of a laugh. We're doing the Salem Witch Trials. I want to start off by having Buddy do a quiz. It's a BuzzFeed. Would you...
I accept.
...become a witch? Or wait, what is the question? Could you survive the Salem Witch Trials? The questions are just ridiculous.
The answer is no. I definitely would have been pegged a witch.
Oh, me too. They would... Well, we'll get to it. But, okay, so question number one is, do you sometimes throw things? And the answers are yes or no.
Yes. Frequently, if there's an option for that.
Number two, do you sometimes contort your body?
Define contort?
I don't know. I would think, like, bend your wrists and elbows in weird directions.
I say it, I think, as I crack my knuckles. No.
Okay, that's fine. Do you occasionally utter strange sounds?
Yeah.
All right, now the answers get a little more, whatever. Have you ever had a public outburst? No way, or yeah, I'm only human.
Yeah, I'm only human.
Or inhuman, because you're a witch. do you have a witch's teat, a.k.a. a mole, insensitive to touching or pricking? And the answer is nope, no. Or yes. Okay.
Nope. Nope. Hard nope.
Have you been known to sway the minds of men?
And every time I walk into a room?
Yeah, the answers are ugh, no, or yes, I'm a saucy minx.
Yes, I'm a saucy. I don't want to finish that. I like saucy, but I don't like minx.
I don't really know what a minx is, but it's
just a type of cat, I think.
Like a cougar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You've been known to voice a controversial opinion, and the answers are, yeah, this is America, or not so much, why piss people off?
I kind of want to drop a controversial opinion.
Do it.
You know, on the show Making a Murderer,
I
absolutely think Stephen Avery did it.
Oh, well, end of controversial. Super controversial. I thought you were going to say something like Albert Einstein is attractive.
How's that controversial? I thought everyone thought it was. Big fan.
Okay. Do you have and use pots or vials of ointments?
Yeah. I got oils right here. I got an ointment over there for lotion-y kind of stuff, but I like to say ointment.
Do you own books of horoscopes?
No, I draw the line at that. I really don't.
The answer on here says baloney, no.
Baloney, no.
I think they spelled baloney wrong. Okay. Do you ever scream?
Yeah.
It says, yeah, when shit gets real, or it says, I scream on the inside, so no.
Oh, actually, I scream on the inside, so no.
Okay. Do you ever skip church?
Always.
Yeah. It says, geez, yeah, like all the time. Uh-oh, you are a Salem witch and probably would have died.
Told ya. Good results, good results.
So, the Salem witch trials... A little bit of backstory is witch trials have been happening for hundreds of years. I guess they started in, like, the 1300s, and they ended in, like, the 1600s in most places, like, early 1600s. But Salem witch trials took place in 1692, so we were kind of, like, at the end of the curve on this one. But estimates put that over the course of all witch trials that happened throughout the world, 110,000 people were tried, and up to 60,000 were killed for being witches, which... I mean, seems low, but for the time, like, you have to remember the population was really low.
That's why, like, my jaw dropped, because that seems so high for the, like, population that would have been at that time.
Yeah, it's a small population, especially if you're talking, like, colonies. Like, there weren't a ton of people in these, like...
Well, that's a huge number for the populations.
So, basically, the standard for being a witch was you had to be hailing Satan in some form. It was usually always connected to Satan, because, obviously, like, Christianity was, like, the ruler and still is. And you had to be using some sort of magic that brought upon harm to others or, like, helped the devil in some way. And it was stated that witches flew in the night to have orgies. And I love that because I feel like that's like the epitome of Christian fears. Like, oh, they're going to do sorcery and have a lot of sex.
Women are not at home at this time. So we have to, yeah, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, it has to be sex related. And we can't have our women having sex. That's terrible.
At least it's not like that anymore, though. Like, at least we've changed. We've come around.
Okay, so I guess there were, like, a little bit more backstory, too, is there was a town of Salem, which was, like, a port town that was on the ocean, and they did, like, a lot of trading, and that kind of brought in more money. And then there was the village of Salem, like, 10 miles in, which was technically the same thing at the time. The village portion, which is, like, the farming portion where all this took place, was already at odds with each other. They had a leading family known as the Porters. So the Porters had strong ties with the town of Salem, and they got a lot of money from its trading and whatnot. And then there was another leading family named the Putnams, and they wanted the village to separate from the town. They thought it would be better if it was its own entity. Another fun fact is Salem was actually named after a Hebrew word that meant peace and harmony. But, like, now Salem is, like, Salem's Lot, or, like, it's only associated with...
the witch trials.
Yeah.
Interesting that if it's a colony in from Britain that they did it as a, did you say Israeli?
It was Hebrew, but Hebrew. I mean, a lot of words from the Bible are Hebrew.
Good point, Sean.
So, another thing dividing the town was that a controversial preacher had just came into town, and his name was Samuel Parris. Parris basically wanted to have a lot of power over the church and over the village, and so that split a lot of people up, and their way of, like, splitting people up were like, well, if you're not supporting this preacher Parris, you're, like, anti-religion, you know, and can't have that. Another just preface of this is I try to use as little names as possible or use people's last names because everybody in this fucking town was named, like, Mary or Sarah or Elizabeth. Samuel. Yeah, Elizabeth comes up so much. It's like everybody just had the same five names, and so you have to kind of get creative with it. So in 1962, three young girls named... Okay, wait. I actually wanted to ask you this before I got into it. When you were a kid, did you ever pretend that you were a witch or, like, really, really hoped that you were gonna, like, go to Hogwarts or anything?
Most of my childhood, yeah.
I feel like this is a thing that everybody did, but I specifically remember thinking that I could move things with my mind, and if you, like, sat there and concentrated really hard on, like, the tennis ball next to you, it would, like, roll or something.
That's, yep, or that I could open doors, or I still kind of think that I have some sort of power, because I always walk, like, if I walk under lights, they always turn off ahead of me, like, streetlights, and I always notice it. And I know it's just, like, a timing, like, I'm just an observant person, so, like, I just happen to notice it, and then, like, clock it.
Yeah.
But every time I'm just like, I have power. Like, what is this telling me?
Yeah, but I remember you talking about that in college. Like, that has been happening for a really long
time. Yeah, no, I had it one time where I was talking about it and, like, pointed at a light and it turned off. And then me and my friend were like, okay, whoa. Like, it was just, like, a little too much. And then my apartment outside, like, it was on there was a big light on one of the trees, but it had a timer, so it went off, like, every hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I was totally able to, like, time it where I would tell the story and be like, this will turn off in, like, 10 minutes. I swear to God.
Yeah, so you definitely would have been a witch back in the day. Okay, so in 1962, just kidding, 1692, three young girls, Betty, who was 9 years old and the preacher's daughter, Abigail, who was 11 years old and the preacher's niece, and Anne, who was the Putnam's daughter, they began to dabble in fortune-telling, and shortly after, they started exhibiting some odd behavior. So the girls would scream, they'd make odd noises, they'd throw things. They'd contort their bodies, and they said that they had, like, a pinching and biting sensation all over their bodies. And so, naturally, everybody was like, oh, this is witches. And so, looking back, there's a ton of reasons that these girls could have been acting like this. They gave a lot of examples, but my top three are probably epilepsy, child abuse, or ergot poisoning, which seems to be the most reasonable. Ergot poisoning is when a fungus gets into a rye-based bread, and the symptoms are vomiting, choking, fits, and LSD-type hallucinations. So you could see why people were like...
Sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, that seems pretty witchy.
If it seems just kind of like it could be bug bites, too. Like some, like, sand flea or...
Yeah, that was, like, brought up to, like, Lyme's disease and, like, other, like, things that we weren't used to because it was America and, like, a lot of these people were settlers and still getting used to stuff. Granted, they'd been there for a decent amount of time, but another thing that could explain these fits is that the girls could have heard about how a victim of witchcraft, like, would act. Because, again, this is 1692. Most witch trials happened in the 1300s to early 1600s. So there's already a ton of books about how this stuff happens. So if they would have gotten word from it in any way, it's like little shitty teenage girls being like, I'm gonna fuck with the neighbor and call her a witch and, like, do all this stuff on purpose.
How did they get books from different places back in that time?
I'm not sure, because I don't know when the printing press was
like. Well, because they hand-wrote books for a while. Like, they did. Like, copies or, like, different, like, newspapers or, like, basically what's now a newsletter.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point, and I'm sure there weren't, like, a ton of books, but I know for sure that...
Oh, shit, the printing press came out in 1440, so there were hella books by then.
Yeah, there was probably books, and then also
I was going to say there's, like, 2,000 years of books, but that's definitely only, like, 200 years.
That's like those people that say, like, in 9 years, it'll be 2300 or whatever, and you're like, no.
Wait, no. Wait, speaking of things on the internet that are turned out to be false, I did want to mention this on this episode. Did you see that thing that was going around where it was saying, like, if you're ever lost in the woods or don't have service, you can change your outgoing message or, like, your answering machine message on your phone, and then everyone can reach you or, like, know where you are? Turns out that that's super not true, and, like, the phone companies are like, do not do that, don't try, like, waste your battery on doing that, like, call 911. That's why we have 911 available for, like, all 0 phone services, and stay put. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
So I was like, that should probably be shared a little bit more than the other one was, because it just, like, kept coming out by different people. Like, look at this hot tip. And I was like, that is a hot tip. And then I read of, like, cell phone companies were like, yo, like, not true. So
that's, like,
don't
the epitome do that. Of, like, Facebook moms, like, yep. Putting things out. It's, like, the same with, like, I can't remember off the top of my head, but, like, human trafficking statistics or facts or whatever the fuck, like, are almost all false. Like, I mean, obviously there are real statistics out there, but a lot of the things being shared are just, like, just some random...
Yeah, like, if it was true, we literally couldn't go outside without being taken. So, like, I remember that phase where everyone was like, this almost happened, like, don't go, and I was like...
All the time, they're like, I was at Target, and somebody followed me, and it's like, okay, well, like, were you going through the aisles in a normal way that most people do from, like, regular food to frozen food last? Like,
well, and, like, this is, like... Just based on all of the research we do on, like, different victims and different, like, murderers, like, they're not going to go after people that, like, that would notice that they're gone. Like, they're not going to take, like, a person who, like, job, family, other connections. Like, they're going to take people that are, like, traveling, already on the street, children that are just, like, abducted. Like,
yeah.
I don't think, yeah, like, I'm at super risk of being human trafficked. Well, if anyone wants to call my bluff, that's on me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of those stories are true. I'm sure you were being followed by a creepy guy. Does that mean he was going to abduct you? No. Does it mean he was totally
going to sell you for profit and, like, that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely, like, I fucking you, probably, or, like, being a creepy guy and following you and, like, because he was creepy and wanted to stare at you. But I don't know if necessarily all those were going to turn out in you being abducted. Yeah.
Well, isn't it that all of sex work statistics gets put into the human trafficking, because that's technically human trafficking?
Yeah, it's, like, yeah, it's complicated. And then they also, I listened to a podcast about it, but there was one about, like, how a lot of the statistics that go around of, like, how many kids go missing are, like, thrown out there, but a lot of those are kids that went missing and then were literally found the next day, and then they are still included in that missing thing, and then, like, nobody ever goes back and takes those ones out, and it's, like, the people that are truly still missing or were missing and found dead or something. There's a clear difference.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
But, yes, if anyone has any stories of human trafficking... Hit us up on our Instagram, Wild and Vile Case File Files.
Yeah, or any story, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to it. The girls were having these fits or whatever, and I just had said that they could have read about it in books or been told about it through other people, and so that could be a reason that they're doing it. So Paris, the preacher, pressures Abigail and Betty, his niece and his daughter, to tell him who did this to them, and they point the finger to the family slave named Tituba. So they came from the Caribbean, this family. They were, like, settlers in the Caribbean, and they moved up to Salem, and then they brought a slave from the Caribbean with them. Her name is Tituba, and so the girls point to Tituba, and then they point to a girl named Sarah. Her last name is Good, and she's a poor beggar that was just known around the town for being this, like, poor person that kind of bothered everyone, and then an old lady named Sarah Osborne, and that lady at the time was bedridden and was hated because she had a romantic involvement with a slave, like, previously before.
Okay.
She was bedridden. Also, all these people are non-churchgoers, and the people that are accusing them are the relatives of the preacher. So, a little bit fishy. So, I think Tituba actually did go to church, but she had some voodoo knowledge and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and so they didn't consider her very Christian. Like, I think she only went to church because she was their slave. Okay, so old lady Sarah and poor beggar Sarah are questioned, and they're like, no, we're innocent. And, of course, the poor beggar Sarah just fucking throws the old lady under the bus and is like, I'm innocent, but this old lady is a witch. Like, mm-hmm. and my thinking is, like, if she says that, like, wouldn't it take one to know one? Like, how do you know she's a witch, but you're not? You know what I mean? Tituba is also questioned. And, by the way, Tituba's, like, 9, I'm pretty sure. She's, like, young as fuck. Ugh. Yeah. And so they question her, and she claims that she's innocent, but they literally question her for, like, 3 days straight, and eventually she confesses. Says she was approached by the devil and a tall, dark man, and they asked her to sign the devil's book, which she did, and I guess that, like, makes you a witch or whatever. If you sign the book, you're, like, selling your soul or whatever.
I know that from the show Sabrina the Teenage
Witch. I know, same. I was like, wow, a lot of this is, like, rooted in, or that show was rooted in lore, mm-hmm. like, real lore, yeah. She also stated that when she signed the book, she saw both Sarah Good and Sarah Osborne's names in the book as well, and so she also states that there was 7 other names, but she couldn't read them. And so this throws the whole town into a panic because they're like, so there could be 7 other fucking witches in the town? Like, what? And so now everybody, like, is flipping out and starts accusing everybody. And more women begin experiencing these fits of whatever the fuck. Majority of these women are from the Putnam family, the one that wants to separate from the town. Mm-hmm. That wants the village to be separate from the town.
And they are churchgoers, the Putnams, or they're not?
They're not necessarily connected to the preacher. They're just another, like, prominent family that is causing division already before the stuff was happening. And so they are the ones that want the village to separate from the town, and the Putnam women begin to accuse some prominent members of the village, specifically enemies of their family, shockingly. And so a few weeks go by, and people are being accused of being witches and then imprisoned, and, like, it starts to kind of ramp up a decent amount. So the governor of the colony of Massachusetts sets up an official court to do hearings and trials on the witches. And this kind of begins the official witch trials. Uh-huh. And so in the trials, the witches would have to defend themselves, but they were given absolutely no tools to do so. And so the court, this is like a really, really big thing that was happening. And pretty much the whole reason that this got so out of control is the court would accept into evidence testimony from the victim saying that spectral beings sent the witches and tormented them. And so in some cases, if the witch tried defending herself on stand and was like, I'm innocent, blah, 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 the girls would start being, like, in the back of the court, just start being like, whoa, and, like, whimpering and, like, going into fits and being like, she's a witch, like, she's doing spectral stuff right now. And, like, these poor people were probably just like, what the fuck, you guys? And there's, like, nothing they can do because everybody took that as, like, proof. So that's pretty fucked up. So there's 7 different ways that you can test somebody to be a witch. The first one is called the swim test, which you probably...
If they drown, yeah. If they drown, they're a witch. And if they don't, oops, they drowned.
Yeah, which is actually, I learned a surprising fact about this. So this is the one where they would tie women up. It wasn't actually always to a rock. Sometimes they would just, like, bind their wrists and their ankles, and they'd throw them into the water, and they would see if they would sink or swim. A witch would be considered a witch if she floated to the top. A non-witch would sink. Mm-hmm. Contrary to popular belief, though, they would actually pull out the people that sank before they died.
Okay, I'm definitely thinking of the Monty Python and the Holy Grail bit, where, like, they're like, oh, I guess she wasn't a witch, but, like, yeah, she's dead. Oops.
But that is literally how everybody thinks of it, but that's not necessarily the case. But a lot of people did die because they waited too long. They were like, well, let's just see another 30 seconds if she comes up or not, you know? Like, maybe it's the devil's trick. The second test is called the prayer test, and they would make people recite the Lord's Prayer out loud, and they were not allowed to make any mistakes, so you couldn't, like, stutter, you couldn't accidentally omit a word, you just couldn't fuck up. Mm-hmm. And so any errors were considered proof of witchiness. And one man, because some men were involved in this, one man actually did this without making any mistakes, and then they killed him anyway and said that it was a devil's trick, and that, like, it was just a false thing, which is so fucked.
It's so fucked. But like, so, like, I just find it all so funny. Like, it's horrible, but just, like, the, like, it's all just literally a witch hunt. Like, this is, like, what the, like, a witch hunt became, like, is from, but it's yeah. so funny.
Well, and it's just, like, it's just clearly a bunch of really mean people trying to,
like... trying to understand people that have, like, some sort of probably, like, it's probably, like, a technology thing or, like...
Oh, it's not even... I honestly think it's just, like, I don't like this person and I want them out of my town, yeah. so I'll just fucking kill them.
Yeah, honestly, it's probably that. Or it's, like, the animalistic thing where, like, you don't want to go outside of your, like, species. Or, like, you don't want to go outside of your, like, pack. Yeah, yeah, so, like, you're very specific. So that's, like, the natural animalistic thing. So that's why racism is a thing.
Yeah. Well, the way that this is, like, that it was explained, it seems to be more of, like, power moves. And then, or at least in the beginning, and then it gets yeah. to, like, what you're talking about where, like, when the general public outside of, like, the Putnam family and the Paris family start getting involved, then it's just, like, pure chaos, and it's, mm-hmm. like, people, like, not trusting it. It almost reminds me of, like, 1984. Like, people, you remember that book or the movie? Do you know anything about it?
I totally read it. I remember the talking house. Well, like, end of what I remember, and burning books, end of what I remember about that.
The basic premise is that, like, everybody's being watched by Big Brother, by the yeah. government, and you would, like, turn in your family members if you thought they had thought crimes, like, if they just thought yes, of things. Yes,
because it was a communism thing, which yeah. is also, like, what the Crucible was, like, when we were learning about communism, which was, like, the
yeah.
other, like,
the and the Crucible is, like, parallel to the Salem Witch Trials, too. They mentioned that a bunch in this, too.
Mm. Well, like, Crucible's about the Salem Witch Trials, oh, is it? But okay. but it's an allegory for communism at the time. Well, later on, but when it was originally written, it was a communism thing.
Yeah, so that's what it reminded me a ton of, because people start freaking out.
Which just, like, also, that was, like, as horrible as the whole Red Hunt was, the communism hearings are pretty funny. Like, oh, do you know this? Have you read this book? Communist. Or, like, you didn't even have to, like, have proof. You would just be like, I'm pretty sure they're a communist, and you would be blacklisted right away.
Yeah, and they actually say that in the stuff that I was reading, too. They were like, this is, like, completely exactly what the Red Hunt was. Like, the that third test is the touch test. This was the belief that the victims, if they were touched by the witch that attacked them, would have a reaction. So, like, if I claimed that you were a witch and you touched my shoulder in court, and I was like, then it would make you a witch. Which is so stupid, because obviously the person that's accusing the witch is gonna, like, go into a fit if the witch touches them. Like, obviously...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's... In what situation would they be like, I think they're a witch, and then they touch them and be like, oh, maybe I was wrong.
Actually, they have really soft hands. Maybe they're not a witch.
Yeah. So number four is the witch cake test. This one's fucking wild. Have you ever heard of this?
Do they have to eat a whole cake because they're in trouble, like in Matilda?
No.
But... Oh, I thought that might be an allegory.
No. So they would take a sample of the witch's urine, and they would mix it in with rye, which, remember, the ergot poisoning, so they're using a lot of rye. Anyways, they would take the pee, and they would take the rye and mix it with ashes and make a cake.
That's literally how they make IPA beers.
The cake was then fed to the witch's dog or their familiar, so, like, a black cat or whatever mm-hmm. is, like, bonded to this witch. And they would make the dog eat the cake. And if the dog was under the spell of the witch, it would reveal their name, which...
The dog would, like, bark out its name, or the cake, yeah. like, the dog's, what?
So, also, if the dog got sick or had fits of, like, paranoia or whatever, mm-hmm. like, acted strange, that would also count. To me, this doesn't make sense, because this sounds like witchcraft to catch witches. You know?
It sounds like a trick.
Like, let me make a potion to test if this lady's making potions. Like,
and so, but they use a dog for it?
The
or witches, they're alleged familiar.
They're alleged familiar. So it's usually a dog or, like, a cat, but yeah it could be, like, a...
So do both vampires and witches have familiars?
I guess. I know, like, witches have always had familiars. I didn't know... Yeah, I guess I didn't know if
vampires I think did. Vampires are more based on What We Do in the Shadows. FX, great show. Go watch it. Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
They call that, like, the humans they have familiars. The movie does, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, it's just, like, somebody that does the bidding of the devil as, like, your sidekick.
Yeah.
It's like a henchman for like, a evil person.
Okay. I kind of like that.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Sabo, my little familiar.
Yeah. Just don't feed her any fucking piss cakes.
I won't anymore, I promise.
So, interesting fact for that, Tituba actually made the first cake for this, and before she was accused of being a witch, she made the first cake, and when it didn't work, they're like, how do you know this? And we're like, sounds witchy, and but, like, still used it after she...
Wait, how did you bake this cake to Tula? Tituba?
Yeah, Tituba. But it's just funny that they were like, this might work, and then when it didn't, they're like, sounds witch. Witchy.
Witch!
Number 5 for the test is called the Witch's Marks. Apparently witches have a devil's mark on their body, so they would, like, strip them down naked, and they would look for any, like, disfiguration that could be considered a devil's mark. So basically any mole or anything that was slightly off would count if they were, like, really trying
to... I have, like, a lot of moles.
I know. So they're, like, really trying to get you...
Okay, not a lot, if you don't know what I look like. She's... I swear I don't, I'm not covered moly. In moles.
A strange thing that they would do also is look for a witch's teat. Which is a third nipple, and apparently witches would use this third nipple to feed their familiars.
Gross.
But I am just...
The poor girl that probably originally had a third nipple was like, this is a witch, and she just got ridiculed for it. Like, yeah. Oh, that poor woman.
Or, like, you know that they're looking for it, and you're like, fuck, I have a third nipple. Like, please, nobody accuse me. Like, I'm so embarrassed. I also love the idea of thinking that if... witches have third tits, so they're just going to these insane witch orgies where everybody has three titties. Like, yeah.
I am just confused of this whole line of questioning.
Yeah, it seems really random. There's a 6th test called pricking and scratching, and it was said that witches' marks would not bleed or feel pain, so they would just prick people all over with needles until they found a spot that wouldn't feel or wouldn't bleed. But what's fucked is... there were some con men who did this as a profession. They'd be, like, the professional pricker. And they were shady as fuck, and they would dull down some needles. So sometimes when they came, they would have a dull needle, and they'd poke them with it, and they'd be like, they're not bleeding, like, they're a witch. So they would, like...
What pricks? That's awful.
Yeah. They would, like, literally sentence people to their deaths just because they were trying to make money as a pricker.
I was also gonna say, I know a couple of professional pricks. Name some names. Throw them in the fire for the witch hunt.
Yeah. Okay, and then the scratching portion of this is they would let the victims of the witches, or the accusers of the witches, scratch the witch until they bled. And if the victim felt like a sense of pleasure or relief from scratching the witch till she bled, then it was proof of that witch being a witch. Like, if they got satisfaction from scratching that person till they bled, it was because, like, they were, like, getting some sort of redemption or whatever.
And not a sociopath. Or
yeah,
a psych-
exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Congrats, you passed this. Yeah, the you passed the test, you little psycho.
Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't feel good at all making this bitch bleed. Now I have to see her every day. And then the 7th one is called incantations, and they would make witches recite incantations, and if it brought the victims out of their fits, then witches would be found guilty. So basically, if some girl was, like, acting crazy, and then you started saying incantations, then she stopped, you'd be, like, considered a witch. Which is so, like, all this is just based off of this... a 9-year-old girl being like, you're a witch, and just faking it until you do something, and then being like, oh.
Oh, that's aw. Okay. Oof.
Yeah, I don't, so, those are some interesting tests. So the courts start convincing people, and things get a little out of control. They hang 6 women right off the bat. They bring a man who used to be the preacher of the town in, and he had moved out of the town 10 years prior, and was living in Maine. But they brought him back and accused him of being a ringleader and killed him. And this is actually the guy that said the said the Lord's Prayer perfectly, and they still killed him anyways.
So this guy probably was a witch.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Another man was accused of using witchcraft, so they stacked rocks on him until he died from the pressure. They also hung his wife and 8 others at the same time. They even started accusing animals of witchcraft. A dog was shot and killed after being accused of being a witch. And after it died, the guy who shot him was like, well, it wouldn't have died so easily from a bullet if it was possessed by the devil. So I guess it wasn't possessed, but it's like, too late, it was already fucking dead. The youngest girl to be accused was a girl named Dorothy Good, and she was actually the daughter of the bedridden witch in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And she was found guilty, but only imprisoned.
Okay. Good for her.
Yeah.
What's she up to now?
Basically, things got out of control, and it wasn't until the governor's own wife was accused of being a witch they finally stopped all the witch hunts, or they stopped the spectral evidence from being allowed. And after that, they tried 50 people for being witches, and only 3 were found guilty now that the, like, all the mumbo-jumbo fake stuff was taken out. So by May of 1963, the trials were called to an end. All in all, a total of 25 people died in the trials, and more were imprisoned, about 185.
Oh my gosh.
Also, no witches were burned in these trials, which is strange because that's how we all remember it.
Yeah.
But that was like a thing that was happening in Europe way early on, but in America that wasn't the case.
Interesting. Or at least in Salem. Yeah.
And then it would take another 10 to 20 years, but eventually people who were involved began to express apologies and regrets. So a judge on the trials had admitted that the trials were unlawful, and one of the original accusers, Anne Putnam, had apologized for her role in all the chaos. But it's like, bitch, you, like, literally fucked, like, over 200 people's lives up, and then, like, 20 years later, you're like,
my bad. Yeah. Maybe they weren't witches.
It reminds me of that, TikTok audio, have you ever heard it, where they're like, oh my god, I don't even know, I was like crazy back then. It's like when somebody asks you what you did when you blacked out, and you're like, I don't even know, I was just like crazy back then. I'm just like picturing this girl saying that.
Like, we learned a lot in the meantime. Like, I guess maybe there isn't witches, like, I guess they just don't exist. Like, that's on us, guys, we're really sorry. Yeah.
I had an eventful childhood, I had a very creative mind. And then shockingly, eventually the families of the victims were paid off for their suffering. Which seems to be very progressive to me, considering literally 20 years prior, they were allowing ghost evidence in trials, and now they're like, you know, maybe these people deserve reparations. And that's the end of it.
Are there any modern day witch trials that aren't like communism, or like some that kind of came up, like they came back after a little while?
Like, it's like relived in the communist things. It did say that the most recent legitimate witch trial happened in 1760 something, and it was not America. I think it was this, it was some European country.
Did they ever verify that witches exist?
Clearly they killed a bunch of people for it.
Yeah, so yes, we have verification.
Do you believe in witches?
No, not really. Yeah. As much as I believe in like mystical stuff and like aliens, Bigfoot, weird happenstances, like parallel universes, like we were talking about last week, I don't believe in, like, actual, like, magic, or, like, psychics, fortune tellers, like, that kind of stretch. Like, I think it is all, can still be, like, scientifically based of their, like, wormholes, portals on our Earth, or, yeah, like, crazy animal species, much less, like, hey, look what comes out of my fingers, man.
Like, yeah, I think psychics could possibly be real, like, the mind-reading portion and maybe fortune-telling portion, but I don't believe in witches at all, like.
I don't think I think the mind reading portion is a lot of like really educated guesses, and then reading people really well of like once you're onto something you see their body shift.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's my argument for it. I believe that because your thought is a physical thing, like it is a pathway that happens in your brain, there's electricity that happens. It's not all that wild to me that somebody could pick up on it, or that it's like something that somebody at some point could pick up on. Do I believe that every person that does it, or that anybody has been able to do it yet? Maybe not, but I think maybe in the future, through, like, technology, we could.
Okay, I think you could. Because I believe in Einstein's, I think it's theory of relativity. What am I thinking of? Where, like, everything is connected, like, every tree has, like, a radial, or, like, a force, like, we have a force, yeah. These objects that we're speaking into have a force, so I think that's totally, like, someone can totally be reading in that.
Well,
like,
I also always had the idea, I'm never gonna write a book, but, like, it'd be really cool if, like, in the future we could find people's, like, last thoughts through, like, the pathways that were last burned. It'd be really cool if there was, like, a sci-fi, like, crime show where, like, they took people's brains and, like, were able to see the last, like, thought that they had, and they used it as, like, a clue to figure out what happened.
That would be cool. Well, they have, like, the consciousness where, like, they think they can bring people's, like, brains back, so there's a ton of sci-fi on that. Like, that you can die but come back as, like, a massive computer, or, like, just a stream of consciousness elsewhere.
In most of those, you have to be uploaded before you die.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I don't think we're that far away from it, especially, we're all becoming kind of basic in a way. Like, we're all following algorithm. Like, I think human behavior is very much based on an algorithm, or, like, we all have social cues, social, like, norms and all of these. Like, yeah, we know what we have to do. So, yeah, I can't imagine it'd be that hard to program someone's personality and be, like, consciousness into
What is that app? Have you heard of Replica?
No.
Oh, my God. I downloaded it in college, which is actually really embarrassing, but it was, like, still in the beta stage back then. But I guess it's this app that you talk to it, like, not with your voice, but, like, you text it.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, my favorite color is orange. And the AI will, like, build its personality based off of your interactions with it. So it won't be, like, mimicking you, but it'll, like, create a friend for you. And, like, you start with, like, levels. So at first you're just like, hi, I like sports. What do you like? And then it gets, like, more. And then, like, you get to, like, level 10. And then it's, like, it learns more and more. And then it's, like, eventually, like, talking to a real person.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Black Mirror episode where she does
that? I was just
going
to say, yeah, that sounds like the Black Mirror episode about it. So, I do really like that episode because Domhnall Gleeson is so hot as a doll.
I actually fucking hated that episode. I slept through it 3 times and eventually I was like, I'm going to fucking finish it. I'm going to do it. And I finally did. But yeah, I guess I didn't hate it. I just, it was much slower than the other ones at the time.
Yeah. There are some very bad Black Mirror episodes and some really, really good ones.